Good morning. Welcome back to First Talk with Hal Rowe on 1290 WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro. Our guest this morning, Dr. Ross Pillen of Growing Smiles Pediatric Dentistry in Newton. When we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about the dietary aspect of youngsters and their dental health. And found out during the break, of course, that you are a dad. You've got, what, three at home? Is that right?
Yes, sir, three. I've got a four-year-old, a two-and-a-half-year-old, and a one-year-old.
So when moms come in and talk to, and the majority, I guess, of the folks who are bringing the youngsters in are the moms,
yes, probably, sir.
The majority,
yep.
You can say, know what you're talking about.
Yep, been there. You know, I know when Susie or John is drooling and having trouble sleeping at night, you know, I'm right there with them. I kind of understand the problems. So.
We talked about the dietary needs and some of the, or not the dietary needs, but some of the dietary aspects of dental health. And you, I think that you put it very well during the break. You don't want to intrude, I believe was the word, or maybe that you used, on their parenting. That's not their parenting style. But yet you do know certain things about sugary treats, about maybe nursing, things like this that you can help parents with. But it's got to be a delicate subject to broach when you're talking with someone in the office about their child's dental health and yet not wanting to intrude on maybe the way that they grew up or the things that they've learned or the things that they believe. Let's talk about that for just a moment.
Well, you're right. It's a very delicate balance as to how you approach a parent that you may assess that's providing their child with something that I may personally feel is detrimental to their oral health long term.
As a dentist.
Yes. And when I speak to parents, it's, you know, I speak to them kind of as their dentist, but I'm also there. I also understand with young children, you know, how difficult it can be sometimes or how stubborn children can be at certain times.
Right.
And I know how hard it can be. So my goal is basically just to educate them as to what we know causes problems and what problems they do cause.
Right.
And to also give a parent the appropriate interventions for those problems as they arise. And then typically after just discussing the facts with parents, they do a very good job as a whole trying to manipulate those things at home. And when we talk about those things, it's like, you know, juices and sippy cups all day long or bottles at night with sodas or juices and things like that. Those
right.
can be very detrimental to a child's teeth and even development at some parts of the growth spectrum. But so, like I said, my goal is just to educate them.
Education.
Exactly.
Right.
And typically, once the once we kind of get all that out there in the education out there, the parents are very good at making the decision as to, ooh, maybe I didn't understand these could be possible complications. And they're very good at changing the way they're doing things currently. And we've had a very positive response from parents overall.
What are the best ways that parents, new parents, or young parents, they do that first visit? You said you can map things out. Kind of in the future and take a look at it. Is it sugary drinks? Is it what is the main thing that you tell parents maybe after that first that and I know it depends on the patient,
mm-hmm.
depends on the youngster,
mm-hmm.
but what are some of the things that maybe you can tell us this morning that, I mean, no fruit juices or let's face it,
like I said, I have children and I know how hard that is sometimes. The rule that I typically give people that come to see me is, you know, sugared beverages are fine at mealtimes only, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But during snacks and after dinner, we like to have no sugared beverages, so
right.
water only. So, you know, if a child wants to have a little bit of a sweet tea with their lunch, I'm okay with that. Just don't put it in a sippy cup and let them drink it all afternoon
right.
if they don't finish it. Yeah. So we typically go through rules like that. It even goes to younger children than that are still breastfeeding and things like that. We talk about, you know, at-will nighttime nursing and the detrimental effects that can have. And we're all for, you know, breastfeeding and the positive things that come along with it. But
right.
we also have to educate moms as to the possible side effects of doing it at will at nighttime. So it's just one of those delicate balances that you have to kind of feel out as somebody comes in.
What are some of the things that we've seen that with, especially with the very young who are coming in, the differences maybe when you were growing up and when I was growing up? I mean, is it still brushing and flossing? Is it still
When you and I were growing up, the thought from the dental community was as 4 or 5 years of age is probably when you need to go for your first dental visit.
Right.
And basically, as an association, what we found out is it was more of a surgical model of dental care. So you'd come in at 4 or 5, you'd find out you had 4 or 5 cavities and you had to get them fixed. And then what happened is all these kids were having poor experiences. Well, what we found is prevention's the most cost-effective and easiest way to take care of that. So we kind of changed our thought on how we wanted to treat people from a dental standpoint. We want to get them in early. We want to create positive experiences for them. That way, number one, hopefully they'll never develop any dental problems. And then number two, they'll have a good attitude towards their dental care provider. My goal is to get these kids through to when they go to see a general dentist in the area, that they're a great patient, and the general dentist in the area don't necessarily have to deal with fear or anxiety on a daily basis like we do with children.
Fear and anxiety, that I guess is, as we were talking before you came on the show, something that you have to face every single day. I was fortunate when I grew up that I had a very nice, gentle dentist. My mom encouraged us to go, that it was a very positive thing. This was not something, but youngsters and adults, all. I mean, that's got to be. I mean, you see them at the barbershop, and they're just freaking out, you know. And I guess, you know, some children go into the dentist, and this can be a lifelong thing, this fear of a dentist and fear of the pain, if you don't do this at first. Let's talk about that fear and anxiety and the way that you kind of try to mitigate that as a professional.
Well, there are things that I do differently as a pediatric dentist that a general dentist would do. Number one is just the typical decor and ambiance in our office. It's very kid-friendly. We typically do the best we can to try to make them feel like they're not at a doctor's appointment.
Right.
I don't wear a white coat. I don't do things like that. I like to high-five kids. I like to talk. We sing songs. We play movies.
Really?
You know, we do things to try to get their minds off of the fact that, okay, they're at a doctor's office.
Right.
So there's a lot of things we do just from a behavioral standpoint with what the staff do and things like that. We use very kid-friendly terms, you know, whistle brush and tooth pillows. We don't, you know, we try not to make it look like you would think of as a typical dental office.
More First Talk with Dr. Ross Pendleton, Growing Smiles Pediatric Dentistry. More First Talk right after the break.